Chapter 25. Child's Ploy. Phelan pressed his eyes closed as Warlock Roshan reached out for him. He felt the cool, smooth skin of the demon's fingers as they locked about the front of his skull. With conscious effort, he resisted the temptation to watch in the ether as the spell took hold. He had done so only once, and the creeping feeling of watching ether being poured into his own mind still gave him shudders when he thought of it. "Just relax. You're making this harder than it needs to be," Roshan cautioned. Phelan realized that his jaw was clenched and that all the muscles of his neck were pulled tight as bowstrings. He filled his lungs and released a long breath, forcing himself to ease them loose once more. "Better. Now, go wake your twin." Wendell's eyes opened in a dirty little rooming house in Takalia. It was dark save for the moonlight that squeezed past the shutters. After allowing his eyes to adjust to the shadows, he could make out the sleeping forms of Jaden and Zelasan, though he could have found the latter by his snoring. The boy was still thin, but not in the same sickly way he had been when Wendell and Zell first found him. One could still see and name any bone of his little body, but the skin no longer tried to suck in and around them. Jaden's hair had grown long as well. Wendell brushed a lock of it aside as he reached down to mimic the warlock's grasp upon his own skull. Anzik Fayer had never considered trying to be a hero. He had been several things in his short life, he knew. A suckling baby, a toddler who soiled himself, a boy with voices in his head that no one could stop, a thief of valuable staffs, a necromancer, a runaway, a bad son who betrayed his father. But now, when everyone looked at him, well, they looked at him. He was no longer a bystander. They asked him for help with things, and nothing stopped him from being able to give it. There were not many of them left. The palace was badly damaged, and the princess who lived there was dead, along with her father, the king. He had saved his mother and siblings, and their mothers. A few others he had been able to save as well, including the nice general lady who used to pat him on the head and tell him to be a good boy for his father. He had learned her name was Kanan. There was much to be done. Peasants from the surrounding areas had been coming back, but not many of them. Anzik used his magic to help clear debris and patch walls. He had always used his magic, even, he realized, when he was not really thinking about it. Things were starting to be so much easier to think about. When he felt a tingling in his mind, he knew that it was magic not of his own making. He felt it crawling out from the center of his brain, wriggling around his eyes and into his ears. He shut his eyes. "Excuse me a moment," Anzik said, and took his leave from the crew of workers, highborn and peasant alike, who were restoring the hallways of the palace. He had only been there a few days, but already knew his way through every room he had been allowed in, and knew the counts of steps. No one challenged him leaving. 13, 14, turn, 1, 2, 3. When he opened his eyes, he saw his own eyes staring right back at him. His nose touched the glass, and his breath fogged the mirror in little puffs. He stood in his mother's bedroom, which had been largely untouched in the attacks. He knew because he had counted the steps correctly. He made sure he could see nothing but his own eyes, never breaking his concentration to dart a glance at the room behind him. "Wendell, go away. You and Phelan helped me, but I paid with the staff. That was the deal. Jaden still likes you, I think, but I can make him hurt you if you don't go away." A stumble and the creak of old floorboards woke Zelasan from his hibernation. He was finding his sleep less restful as his worries over pursuit gnawed at him. Smaller and smaller sounds awoke him of late. He rolled over and grabbed for his sword, lying by the bedside.
"Oh, puss and spit, it's just you. Wendell, what are you kicking about for at this hour?"
Zelasan asked, keeping his voice low.
"I needed to piss. I just tripped, that's all. Go back to sleep," Wendell replied in a whisper.
He crept back over to his bed and worked his way under the blankets.
"Thought you needed a piss," Zell said.
"I was on my way back," Wendell replied.
Zell let the comment pass. He waited until he heard Wendell's snoring resume, then a little while longer, in case he was faking. There is only so long a man has patience to fake a snore, and Zell thought he had the measure of it. He shifted, peering over his pillow to the floor in front of the door. Zell's bed was right up next to the door, a first defense if they were attacked in the night, and he had left his helm in front of it. Had the door opened, there would have been a clamor.
Wendell didn't piss in the pot. There's no stink of fresh urine in the air. He didn't move the helm or I'd have heard him.
Zell reached over the end of the bed. He hooked the helm with a finger and lifted it, careful not to let it scrape along the floor and wake the two sleepers. Slipping it over his head, the helm shifted him into ether vision. All the occupants of the rooming house appeared in his view. They had mundane, ordinary sources, mostly asleep. Even the seated figure slumped in the common room below likely slumbered. Only two stood out. Wendell's source glowed a bit brighter than the rest, though Tanner might have been his equal in a draw, which was faint praise. Jaden's stood well apart, as if the same glow all the adults held within them was compressed into a smaller package. Looking closer, he saw that there were marks on the boy's forehead, splotches of darker ether that lingered. Even with his limited experience with ether vision through the helm, Zell knew that something was wrong. Something had been done. Zell slipped the helm from his head and gently placed it back against the door. Though he lost a night of sleep for it, Zell kept a vigil and knew that Wendell tried no other magic while Jaden slept. Phelan jerked from his reverie, still finding Rashan's hand tight around his head. Though the spell had ended, the demon had not released him.
He was aware of us. He caught...
You were sloppy, Rashan told him. I saw the whole of it, remember? You marched into his mind like a monohorn at parade.
My twin isn't the sorcerer I am. He has a much weaker source, and he had just gotten out of bed. It was the middle of the...
Phelan let his string of excuses end unfinished. He found the warlock's eyes fixed on his own, his expression unwavering. Much better, Rashan said after a moment's pause. He released Phelan from his grasp. Phelan reached up, dabbing at his temples and inspecting them for signs of blood, but they came away clean. His head throbbed. He blinked a few times to reorient himself. Since you seem unable to provide further use in this endeavor, what of your other assignment? Rashan asked. He turned and paced away from Phelan.
I have tried a number of knights. Sir Brannis's wards are impassable, and he rarely releases them. I know he plots against you, but I have yet to snare him in anything concrete. He seems paranoid, and of course that would stand as evidence that...
Evidence? Rashan shouted, interrupting him. Evidence is the one thing you've been unable to provide. You tell me of feelings, of looks you see. I can see and feel and look all I like as well. I want tangible. I want culpable. I want his confession chiseled in stone before I act against him, if I am to act at all.
You have yet to provide me anything beyond your guesses. I will not act against the strongest source I have ever seen in this world or the other based on guesses. Even those of you who serve me fear me, secretly or otherwise. Even Caladrus was a bootlick at heart, it turns out. Brannis is the closest thing I have left to a friend, and if he were to tell me that you were working against me at this point, I would take his word over yours. I must be sure. Do you understand me?
I have played crackle with the man, Warlock, Phelan replied. This may mean nothing to you, but it is a special skill of mine to see behind a man's thoughts without using any magic. My twin had little enough else to rely on. I will keep my feet in his shoes as best I can until I can give you the evidence you require.
I have heard your conjecture, said Rashan. I do not need to be reminded of it. I have told you, I do not care what means you use, unfettered, but do not bring me another bone until it has meat on it. If Brannis cannot be caught up directly in your net, find an accomplice. I would suggest Juliana Archon, but I believe Brannis has placed her permanently beyond our reach.
Yes, Warlock, Phelan replied, and turned to leave. One last thing, Rashan called after him. If you could find hard evidence that he is in fact not working against me, I would be most relieved to receive that as well.
Tanner eyed the bottle, scrutinizing the label and turning it to watch the contents slosh about within.
This is expensive swill to be drinking first thing in the morning, he commented. Pretty sure it ain't legally binding either.
Stalyard swung a chair around and sat straddling it, resting his arms on the back. The tavern was sparse in the late morning, with a mix of devout drunkards and those who preferred tavern food to that of proper eateries. Tanner and Stalyard looked the part of men who deserved a table off in a corner to themselves, and thus they had one with no trouble.
It is a tradition and a good time for one, I think. We must have caught them this time. Their habit is to flee like a slow ship. They make a run from one hiding spot to the next, hoping that any pursuit will lose them. Tonight, we may meet our fates in this world, if they are still here, Stalyard said.
Yeah, but I don't get how this makes us partners. We've drank together before.
It is the pirate way, to celebrate success beforehand. Either you win and earn it, or you do not and die.
Why not drink now? Stalyard asked. How's this going to work, anyway? You work for Zane, Tanner said.
Even as he questioned Stalyard, he worked the bottle open. He took a sniff and blinked several times. Tikalish whiskey was as strong a liquor as one could hope to purchase.
We will make our plans in Vaedrus and sail together there. I will teach you the trade of a smuggler, and you will make me a better swordsman. Here we go our separate ways after this, but keep our efforts working as one. We can make great coin, I think, with a more mercantile arrangement. I can think of great ways to create coin, for a man with pockets as deep as your own, Mr. Tanner, Stalyard said.
A grin spread across his face. Tanner guessed it was supposed to be the contagious kind, but he failed to catch it.
You're the brains, I hold the purse strings, that about it? Tanner asked.
He held the bottle up, addressing it more than Stalyard.
You have made vast amounts of coin by your blade, and those of your friends, I understand, Stalyard said. A year from now, 5 years from now, eventually, your blade will slow. Misfortune might claim you on even your best day. Also, I think that your band of coin blades has ridden together for the last time. When you met Mr. Hinterdale, or his twin, you lost your girl to him. Miss Soria has a hold of his heart, but Mr. Hinterdale has no brigand in him. Think of him what you will, but he thinks himself above it. She will throw in her cards before he will, I assure you.
Tanner kept his eyes on the bottle, as if the contents would show him what was in his heart.
Been years since it was just me, Zell, and Rakashi.
Tanner swallowed, taking a moment to think. Zell's showing his age more and more, his blade's already too slow for his own good.
Rakashi? I don't know if he'd stay around if it was just me. Neither of us really ran things much. I mean, I bet he could, but I wouldn't follow him, book weevil that he is.
Stalyard stayed silent as Tanner worked his thoughts aloud, kneading them like dough until they were fit to bake. Tanner looked up from the bottle.
You're right. Let's do this.
To a new partnership. He took a swig from the bottle and handed it to Stalyard.
To the successes. We will have earned this, Stalyard replied, and took a long drink of it himself.
Tanner took the bottle from Stalyard's hand and plunked it down on the table.
Leave the bottle here. We have work to do.
Two men in midnight blue cloaks walked the edges of the snow-dusted streets of the Tikalish city of Rayani.
They wore wide-brimmed hats, much favored by the locals for keeping the sun off in the warm months and the snow out of the eyes in the cold ones. They also disguised faces, if you kept the brim angled low.
The cloaks hid swords and most of the bandolier of pistol shots that Tanner wore, though a metallic glint peered out from between the edges. The cloaks hid skin as well, and blended two foreigners among the local throng, many of whom were dressed much the same.
Can't believe how short the coin was to get these fellows around here to talk, Tanner said quietly, his brim rubbing against Stalyart's. A street sneak could starve trying to sell secrets around here. They feel safe, and well they should. Our kind doesn't survive long. Once we have the boy, we must take him further west. Back the way we came, there will be men expecting us, men with shackles and chains. No argument there. Let's just do this, Tanner replied. They came upon a gathered crowd clogging one of the city's major intersections. A voice somewhere within the throng was shouting above the murmur of the city noise, some sort of street performer. Stalyart moved to join the fringes of the crowd, but Tanner took him by the arm and held him back. Don't get close. They might spot us. Come on, Tanner said. He led Stalyart down a side alley, looping around the performance. That's gotta be Wendell. That means Zell's probably around too, I'd wager. They must be fools to carry on in such public fashion. Surely they must know they will be hunted, Stalyart said. Yeah, Wendell mostly, I guess. Varnus, Zell's twin, thinks the whiskers in his ears connect. He's set on performing. Gutted if I get why, Tanner said. They caught glimpses of the crowd as they passed each side road from the alley, continuing until they got to the far side of the gathering. There had to have been hundreds of people watching. They must be new in town if a traveling magic act can round up these kind of numbers, Tanner said. I would very much like to see the show, Stalyart said. Word must have spread ahead of them.
I imagine he must be quite skilled.
The two of them were in an alley, pressed near the wall of some building, skulking around, waiting to stalk someone from a crowd.
We're figments out of a fairy story. Two men in dark cloaks looking to run off with a boy. Those stories never end up working out for the fellas in dark.
Stow it. Remember, we might have to kill that beloved entertainer over there to get away with this. Don't go sending him locks of your hair or nothing, Tanner chided. We just wait for the show to end and then we follow them. Stalyart heaved an exaggerated sigh. If we must, we must. While we wait, you might answer a question which has burrowed itself under my skin. Why did you offer to bring both boys? Captain Zane would have released you gladly after returning just Anzik. We talked a bit once. I agreed he wasn't acting the thieving preacher about the boy getting kidnapped. Not like it was worse than anything he'd done himself, or worse than stuff I'd done, Tanner said. He kept his voice low and leaned close to Stalyart. Well, see, I got to thinking. Maybe it is worse. Kyrus ain't a bad sort at heart, but he lets a lot of things slip his mind when it suits him. He didn't care a spit about the boy until I came up with a plan to trade him for the staff Jinzan's got. Kyrus knew it was a long coin bet, but he let me take it anyway. Probably figured I was a dead man. Another thing to let slip, I guess. So you wish to prove you're a better man than Captain Zane or Mr. Hinterdale, is that it? Stalyart asked. A hint of a smile curled his lips. Stalyart always found a way to slip into a good mood if you did not keep him from it, Tanner noticed. Tanner spit on the cobbles, or tried, making a little wet hole in the fresh fallen snow. Nah, gut both of them for all I care. Sorry if you're friends with Zane, but I'm not. No, just sits wrong in my belly, being mixed up in keeping a kid from his family. I got coin. I don't need more that bad. Birds filled the air, surprising neither man as they each checked the ether and found not a living bird among the flock. It was to be the last of the magician's tricks, and calls for donations followed. The edges of the crowd began to fray at once and drift away about their business. That one there, the big one, that's Zell, Tanner said, and pointed to the hulking Akkadian where he stood among the onlookers. He took Stalyart by the arm. I don't want him spotting us. Let's move. They moved parallel to the main road, slipping in between buildings, heading in the direction they knew would take him to the rooming house where their quarry was staying. Progressively fewer people were seen walking along their way as the spectators filtered out into the city. They waited until they caught sight of their three marks, Wendell, Zelisan, and the boy. Tanner got a look at him and knew Anzik's twin at once. Once the trio had been lost from view, Tanner and Stalyart hustled to the next crossroad and waited again.
Good. There they are again. They're heading back to their room, Tanner said. When they next lost sight of their quarry, they ran ahead, having made their guess about how much time they had before Anzik's twin was brought back safely to his room. The interior of the rooming house was all shades of graying aged wood, the sort that splits gently apart over time, but rarely seems to crack on its own. A pudgy innkeeper with a stubble-gone-wild beard looked up from his napping chair. His eyes asked a question of them that his voice was too lazy to bother with. "A couple rooms for me and my friend here," Tanner said. He looked to a row of pegs on the wall. Keys dangled from most, but not all. "Looks like 3A and 3C would do nicely."
"You no rooms together?"
the innkeep asked, rising from his chair with a squirming stretch to loosen his shoulders. Tanner was grateful the man spoke a bit of accordion, since he had forgotten to even try his tekalish. Tanner shook his head in reply. "He snores," he answered, and gave a demonstration that drew a nod and a knowing chuckle from the innkeeper.
"So who gets which room?"
Stalyard asked on the stairs as they made their way up to the third floor.
"Don't matter.
We're going to 3C for now," Tanner replied. The stairs creaked at each step. Tanner varied his footing, center, left edge, right edge. The building was just too old to keep to itself.
"No sneak jobs on these. Nice pick, Zell."
Stalyard followed Tanner into room 3C and pulled the door closed behind them.
"You seemed quite certain of your actions, so I said nothing in front of the innkeeper. Now, though, I must ask, what is this plan you have not shared?"
"I didn't share it because I didn't know it until just then. Zell's gotta be making their arrangements, so I know how he'd pick a room. Nothing on the first floor, too easy to break in. Nothing above the second floor if you can help it. Too high a jump if you need to get away quick. There were only 3 keys missing for the second floor. 2A, 2C, and 2F. I picked the 2 that were closest together to avoid tipping the innkeep off."
"Your deductions seem reasonable, and I would trust you to know your associates' habits. What do we gain by trying to guess at rooms above theirs?"
Stalyard asked. He sat down on the bed, set his hat on the bedside table, and unclasped his cloak, giving the impression that he had chosen his room. "Building's nice and regular. All the windows line up, one floor to the next. Saw so from the outside. Zell picks the second floor so he can't get backed into a corner."
"Might be he even puts his bed in front of the door to block it," Tanner said.
He pointed to the hinges on the door of their own room. "See? These open in. We're going to drop in from a rope.
If we're lucky, we get the kid out without waking either of the two of them."
"Since I'm never lucky, I'm guessing we either have to knock him out or make a run for it." "How do we find their room without them spotting us? Surely their vision in the ether must be keener than either of ours," Stalyard said. "Well, Zell can't see the ether at all, so no worries about him. Wendell, who knows? Neither of us stands out in the ether anyway. We could be anyone," said Tanner. He took off his hat and tossed it onto the bed beside Stalyard and let his cloak drop to the floor. Tanner then parted the window shutters a finger's breadth and looked out.
"Your sword bears runes. That might separate us from the common stock about Tekalia."
Tanner looked down to the blade at his side. He pulled it halfway free of the scabbard and gave it a glance. "This thing? Without Soria to refill it, it went dry of ether days ago. Just you and me here, no swords to see. This thing might be dead steel a good long while if I can't find Soria or another twin born with a strong enough source."
"What about the boy?" Stalyard asked.
"Well now, look who's counting his coins before the hand's dealt," Tanner teased.
"No, I mean, what if the boy sees us coming?"
"If he is Anzik Fair's twin, he can likely see the ether, I would think."
"Hey, if Zane's boy sees us coming, hopefully he has the sense to shut up if he recognizes me," Tanner said. "He ought to trust me after getting him home on the other side. Now who counts his winnings early, Mr. Tanner?" It turned out that it was room 3C that lay above the room where Wendell, Zell, and Anzik's twin were boarding. Tanner had spotted them coming,
and the two men had retreated to their separate rooms until nightfall, under guise of an early slumber. Cloaks and hats were too cumbersome for rope work, and stayed behind in room 3C, except for one cloak that Stalyard carried in lieu of wearing. Their window opened out over an alley, and the building across the way had no window at all on the wall facing them. The ground below was unmarred snow, which made the dingy little back alley look innocent and fresh, and not at all like the scene of a kidnapping. Tanner climbed down first, and Stalyard followed soon after. They crept along the clapboards, Tanner angling his descent wide right of room 2C's window, and Stalyard taking the left approach. Tanner winced as his scabbard thumped against the building, pausing to listen for signs that he had been heard by the occupants. Nothing. When he brought himself level with the window, he wrapped the rope thrice around one wrist and freed up his other hand. He slid a knife between the shutter and caught the latch. Half an hour's practice on the one in his own room had seemed a child's game compared to doing it from the outside without seeing the device. With some finagling, he popped the little metal hook loose and used the knife blade to pull the shutters open. Stalyard draped his cloak over the opening to keep the moonlight from preceding them into the room. Tanner set one foot on the sill, testing his weight upon the aged wood, and seeing if it would bear his intrusion in silence. It passed both tests. He took care to guide his scabbard through the window without further collision, and found that the floor near the window did not groan when he set himself down.
So far, so good.
Stalyard set his foot on the sill and looked inside, but he did not enter. He stayed with his cloak up, maintaining the shroud of darkness. A soft snoring from Tanner's left had to have been Wendell. The familiar guttural growls from the far side of the room were almost as familiar as Zell's voice. Tanner gritted his teeth and checked the ether briefly. He saw the ether-seeing helm of Zell's up against the door, and the healthy source of Anzik's twin amid the blur, as well as the indistinct forms of Zell and Wendell. Tanner blinked back to normal vision, even though he could hardly see his own hands. He felt along the bed that held Anzik's twin, until he found the sleeping form. He leaned close until his face must have been a blade's thickness from the boy's ear.
Anzik. Anzik, if you can hear me, it's Tanner. I'm here to take your friend to his father. He has a ship you can live on. It's a water boat, but maybe someday you can teach it to fly.
Tanner spoke in a whisper's whisper, barely audible even to his own ears. Tanner waited, preparing himself to repeat the message again, a bit louder. Anzik's twin sat bolt upright, sending Tanner scrambling to get out of his way. There was a creak of a floorboard, the rustling of bedclothes, and a sudden stop in the snoring.
Jaden, what are you—
Wendell, get up!
Zell shouted. The big man scrabbled about for his swords, lying at his bedside. Light streamed into the room from the window, as steel rang free from Stalyard's scabbard, followed closely by Zell freeing his own blade. Tanner threw himself atop Jaden to escape the clash of swords in the middle of the room, pinning the boy to the bed under his weight.
It's all right, it's all right. We're here to rescue you,
he babbled in a frantic effort to comfort the startled boy.
What's going on? Wendell demanded.
Zane's thugs, Zell yelled back. Get the boy!
Zell, no!
Tanner shouted.
Wait!
In his head, Tanner knew that Zell was probably the better fighter, veteran of 100 crossings of blades. Stalyard knew what he was doing, though, and had the advantage of surprise, of being fully awake, and of having the light at his back, revealing his opponent in more than just silhouette. And of course, Zell also had to contend with a trusted and familiar voice calling out to him, splitting his attention. Stalyard's blade slid into Zell's chest and came out dripping red. The huge man collapsed to the floor with a crack that told of a floorboard giving way under the impact. Blood began to pool beneath him immediately.
Zell!
Tanner screamed. He abandoned the boy, Jaden, and went to his friend's side. With a strength born of panic, he rolled Zell's massive frame from his side onto his back. His undershirt was soaked with blood, but his eyes were squeezed shut, and his jaw was clenched.
"Zell, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen. I'm sorry,"
Tanner told his dying friend.
"We were just going to grab the boy and bring him back. I swear. You weren't even supposed to be up."
Zell mouthed something, but had little breath to lend it. Tanner leaned close, putting his ear just in front of Zell's lips.
"Mr. Tanner, where did Wendell go?"
Stalyard asked. The pirate stood looking around him. He waved his bloody sword around above the bed, finding no resistance.
"Whore son of a magician," Tanner swore through gritted teeth.
He went to the window and looked down. The fresh fallen snow betrayed a trail of footprints, still actively appearing out of nowhere, heading down the alley. Tanner took the revolving pistol from its holster and pulled back the hammer. Taking careful aim, he imagined the height of a man above those footprints and squeezed the trigger.
Bam!
The shot rang out, and a spray of red erupted from the air, flecking the snow drifts with blood. The footprints stopped, and a larger depression in the snow punctuated it. Tanner put the pistol away and turned to look at the boy. Jaden's eyes were wide, but his expression otherwise blank.
"Your name is Jaden here, right?" Tanner asked.
The boy nodded.
"Do you remember me? I helped Anzik, and I plan to help you too."
The boy nodded again.
"Good. Now get dressed, we're leaving."
"You killed him,"
Jaden said, making no move toward his travel clothes.
"Yeah, I guess I did. Wendell should have never kept you from your father."
"He made me look through Anzik's eyes for him. I didn't like that," Jaden said.
"Well," said Tanner, "I can hardly manage any magic, and I promise not to use any on you. I'm just going to bring you to see your father. I gave him my word."
"This blade," Stalyard asked, picking up Zelisand's sword.
The old coin blade always carried two, but had not the time to get the shorter blade out.
"Is this a runed blade? Delighting makes telling difficult."
"Yeah,
take that and the helm too," Tanner said. He spared a glance down at Zelisand, but turned away quickly.
"Can't let magic lie around."
"What was it that he said to you a moment ago?"
Stalyard asked.
"Let's just say I'm not going back to Cadrus anytime soon, and leave it at that."